by the Babylonians about 600 years before the time of Christ. So let us listen to the psalm, the lament over the destruction. O God, the heathen have come into my inheritance and have defiled this holy temple. They have laid Jerusalem in ruins. They have given the bodies of thy servants to the birds of the air for food, the flesh of thy saints to the beasts of the earth. They have poured out their blood like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. We have become a taunt to our neighbors, mocked and derided by those round us. How long, O Lord, wilt thou be angry forever? Will thy jealous wrath burn like fire? Pour out thy anger on the nations that do not know thee, and on the kingdoms that do not call on thy name. For they have devoured Jacob and laid waste his habitation. Do not remember against us in the iniquities of our forefathers. Let thy compassion come speedily to us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. Deliver us and forgive our sins for thy name's sake. Let us take the reading to our hearts.
Amen. Will you pray with me briefly before the sermon? Holy God, I know that every one of the people sitting in this place today is precious to you, and I pray that the words you have given me will be a blessing to draw them closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Psalms were sacred songs. They were hymns. Now, I can't imagine singing something like this in church. But still, I'm touched by this reading. You can't overlook the anguish and the despair of the psalmist. And there's a lot that we can learn from this psalm, from even just these nine verses. First of all, it may be a good reminder that, as some of us are reminded in 12-step groups, or at least in ACA or Adult Children of Alcoholics 12-step groups, all of your feelings are valid. And I would challenge anyone, and there are people out there who teach that sadness or doubt are not to be allowed because they're signs of weak faith. But I would challenge those people to remember that according to Mark 7, I believe it was, Jesus said from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's okay to have feelings of despair and doubt, sorrow, fear. All of your feelings are valid, and God is big enough to hold that. When the psalmist wrote these words, God understood. God understood what not only he but his entire nation were going through. And second, this can stand as a very important warning not to take Bible passages out of context. Here the psalmist describes the pain and the despair felt by the people after Babylon invaded their land and destroyed the temple. It is not, however, a theological basis to claim that God expresses God's displeasure toward humankind with war, natural disasters, or some other calamity. And as someone has said, this is not going well. Hold on a minute. I don't know what's wrong. Up higher? Okay, let's try that. As someone has said, and it's been attributed to Voltaire, I don't know where it originally came from. In the beginning, God created man in his own image, and man has been trying to repay the favor ever since. It's not how God operates. God is better than that, okay? God is better than that. Remember Jesus' words from Matthew 7. Well, that's where I got confused. The other verse was not from chapter 7 of anything. It was Mark 13, I believe. Matthew 7, is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Right? God is better than that and does not punish us with war or natural disasters. I have a friend who recently said to me, after going through some tough times, what did I do to deserve this? And I said, oh, you mean like, what did Jesus do to deserve what happened to him? That's not how it works. Don't take your scriptures out of context. And because this is sort of more of a national lament than a personal lament, I want to bring up something that was, I think, on all of our minds recently. I remember when the Twin Towers in New York City fell. I remember the shock and the horror that so many of us felt. And I also remember thinking to myself, we have been so arrogant. Arrogant because we thought it would never happen to us. Even though it has happened and is happening even now in other nations all around this world. So what do we do with that? Disciples, pastor, scholar, author, and activist Timothy Murphy recently wrote a book called Sustaining Hope in an Unjust World. Some of the feelings that this psalmist describes about how they have defiled your holy temple and poured out their blood like water, and we have become a taunt to our neighbors. Some of those feelings are feelings that some of our fellow Americans, citizens and non-citizens, have been feeling for a long time. Why do we even try? Why do we even try when everything is going so wrong? We try because we have faith. And we know that's what God asks of us. And sure, there are people, many people in power who deny climate change and are unwilling to do anything about that. There are people, including people in power, who devalue our sisters and brothers because of the color of their skin or their country of origin. People who ignore the part that our nation has played in some of these wars and other injustices, economic and otherwise. And the psalmist writes, do not remember against us the iniquities of our ancestors. Let your compassion come speedily to meet us, for we are brought very low. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of your name. That's what God wants to do, to help us, to deliver us. But it doesn't happen like that. It doesn't happen in some spectacular, miraculous way. It happens one slow step at a time when you and I stand up and say, this is not acceptable. The Emperor Constantine made Christianity the state religion, not really because he saw a cross in the sky, but because he wanted to consolidate his political power, to bring all those followers of Christ into his fold. We need to be Right. I don't actually like the Paul's words, in the world and not of the world, because it's been so misunderstood over the centuries. But yes, in a way, we need to be in the world but not of the world. We need to remember that we are citizens of the realm of God, but at the same time, we are citizens of whatever nation we live in. Maybe not literally citizens, but bloom where you're planted, right? And when everything goes wrong, when it all goes wrong, and we feel as if we're being punished for something we did, or for something our ancestors did, or for something our country did, we need to remember that God is better than that. And when it seems as if there is no hope, there is hope. Sisters and brothers, when it all goes wrong, sometimes all we can do is cry out to God with whatever words come to us and say what's on our hearts. And that's okay. It's okay to complain. It's okay to lament. Because God is the best listener you'll ever meet and understands exactly what you're feeling. Amen. Holy, life-giving, loving God, we thank you for the reminder from the psalmist that it's okay for us to feel what we feel. It's okay for us to pour our hearts out to you, and we give you thanks that you are with us in the bad times when it seems as if everything is going wrong. Amen.